Good morning, everyone. You know, it's a very special feeling to be speaking at your mother church. And I was here in BBT, I was here in BKC in 1957. Now, everybody turn to your neighbor, say he's very old. Tell your neighbor. When I was in primary four, and I can tell you this much, that I see so many of it. When, you know, whenever I preach here and I see so many familiar faces, people who grew up with me in BKC. And I think today's announcement, I didn't know about this walk there. And I think it's so wonderful that, is to relive the early days of how we started in BKC, and then Bethesda Frankel, and then BBTC, where I am now in. And I can tell you that I really treasure my early days here in this church. And this church, not only, I also met my wife in this church. Praise God for that. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor, say, always go to church. Tell your neighbor. Because you never know where. So I want to say that it's always a pleasure to come back to your mother church and to be able to see so many familiar faces. I was given this topic on Psalms 93. And I thank God that Psalms 93 only got 5 verses. I'm so glad you didn't give me Psalms 119 that has got 176 verses. I think I'll take the rest of the year to preach to you every Sunday to finish. And so we only got 5 verses today. And I was asked, what time shall I finish? It says 10 o'clock. If you don't finish by 10, they'll carry me out. Okay, so let us meditate on the 5 verses of Psalms 93. Now, before I start, turn to your neighbor, say, tell your neighbor, say, we are living in scary times. Tell your neighbor. Yeah, we are living in scary times. Let us pray while we live in scary times. Let us pray that God will be with us in scary times. Let's pray. Father God, you who order all things for our eternal good, please, Lord, enlighten our hearts and minds this morning to give firm and abiding trust in your love and your care. Lord, silence our murmurings and quiet our fears and dispel our doubts that arises above our affliction or even anxieties, that we may rest on you, the rock of everlasting strength. Amen. So let us look at the 5 scripture verses from Psalms 93. Can we have the verses on the screen, please? I'd like you all to read only 5 verses. You can do that, right? Okay, let's read verse 1. Everybody, 1, 2, go. Lord reigns, is robed in majesty. Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Verse 2. Established from of old, you are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. Verse 3. Mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Trees are very trustworthy. Holiness besits your house, O Lord, forever. So these are the 5 verses that we will be going through today. So you look at Psalms 93. Psalm 93 establishes the absolute sovereignty of God over the chaos of the world, and assuring all of us believers that his throne is unshakable. And in this world where we often feel fragile and unpredictable, these 5 verses, we call them the enthronement psalms, delivers an uncompromising message that the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. So we feel that we are all living in this world, very unpredictable, very, what we all call, very fluid situation. Every day you open the newspapers, you read about what's happening in the Straits of Hormuz, you see about what America is doing and Iran and Lebanon now and Israel. We are reading all this, and every day we open the papers, we do not know what's going to happen. And so there's a lot of concerns and fears. Although we are seniors, many of us are seniors, but the younger ones, they are the ones who have got very great concern about their careers and about prizes and all. So we really live in scary times. So as we look at Psalms 93, we find that fears of people are elevated, and there's a great threat against our families, our friends, our neighbors, our nation, and the world in general. It is important in times like this for us to turn to God and to His Word. And in this psalm, we see the psalmist address the issue of the peril of God's people by pointing to the person of God. And if you were to give the sermon a name, as I've given, we will say remembering God. Providence in scary times. So let us look at these five verses. There are three parts actually in the five verses that we have just read. If you have your Bibles, if you have your handphone, turn using the NIV, turn to the five verses in your Psalms 93 so that you can follow what I'm sharing. Now, this is three parts. I'm dividing the message in three parts. The first part of the message, especially verses 1 and 2, point to us that the might of God. That is, the psalm begins by reintroducing to us who God is, reminding us of what He is, He is like, and especially reminding us of God's power. The Lord reigns, robed in majesty, the Lord is robed in majesty, He's armed with strength. So this is His arm with strength, it's His power. Then the second part of the psalm points to our life situation. It points to the peril in which we find ourselves. And then we see, especially in verse 3, that if we take the two, verse 3 and 4 together, the peril is responded in verse 4 by declaration of God's power being greater than our peril. And finally, the last portion, we get to verse 5, and the psalmist takes us back to the person of God. But this time the focus is on not upon God's might, but it's upon God's person, upon His character. So today what I'm going to talk about is I'm going to talk about the power of God, P, the power of God, the peril that we face, and then it goes to the person of God. In the five verses, we go in three parts, the power of God, the peril that we all face, and then the person of God. And so, in another way, the Psalms begin by showing us God's might, then He moved to show us our situation and the scariness of it and the peril of our situation, and then finally point out to God's character. So let us look at this together. So let's talk about the first verse, the power of God. First of all, let's see that the psalm shows us the might of God. And it does so in this verse 1 and verse 2. And it does it in a very interesting way. It gives us a proclamation. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty. A proclamation. It gives us the first picture, the proclamation that God reigns. So it is a victory. It is a victory declaration. A little bit like what we get from, we see in Isaiah 52, verse 7. Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. And your God reigns is, you look at it, it is present time. God is still reigning. It reigns. God reigns. And God is reigns still today. And so there's this proclamation. And then it shows that the talks about the messenger, the bringer of good news. Messenger coming to give good news to the people about the battle and of their king against their enemies. And you know, there's this legend or the myth that the Athenian army was fighting a battle in a place called Marathon. And the Athenian army, they won. But the people in Athens were very anxious. Did we win or did we lose? And so legend goes that they sent a courier. His name is Philippides. And he told the general there, let me go run and tell our people the wonderful news that we won. So Philippides ran, as you know, the legend goes, he ran 26 what? Miles. 26 miles without stopping. And then when he arrived at Athens and he declared to the people, he says, Nike! No, Nike. Now I suddenly know that what Nike means. Nike means victory. Victory. So how many of you are wearing victory shoes today? So he shouted, Nike! He said, we won! And then he collapsed and he died from the exhaustion. And that's how we all had the marathon race. We had some marathon race to commemorate that very special event. So rejoice, it means we have conquered. And then he fell down dead. And that's where we get the modern marathon that we talk about. So at this point of the victory of the story, he goes back to the messenger who gives the news of victory. And this is the victory declaration. The Lord reigns. I don't know how many of you like to give good news? I don't know. I want to give good news. I love to give good news. Now, I was from the army, by the way, in case you all don't know. And I was the MINDEF Public Affairs Department. We are public affairs, we public affairs. And we have occasions where soldiers die in training. And in the early days of the SAF, every time when the soldier, one of the sons of our citizen died in training, we will send a military officer in uniform with rank, and then we normally send a guy, and he will go to the family and says, Mr. and Mrs. Tan, sorry, just to let you know your son died in this accident and all that kind of thing. And there were quite often, the parents, especially the father, will be so angry and you want to bash up the military officer who bring the bad news. So I don't think you want to be the bringer of bad news, right? So we learn, how can we do better? So we went and explored, and we went to other armies. We went to Israel, we went to Switzerland, and say, but who give bad news to the parents? And then they discovered, send a woman. No matter how, man is like, just to tell you, your son died. I mean, you want to bash him up, right? But we send a woman, because women got more empathy. Women are more nurturing, you know, empathy. And they will say, and don't wear uniform. Don't wear uniform. So from that time onwards, we learned this, and we gave a directive that any bad news for the family of the soldier who died, send a military officer, but in a woman officer in civvies to break the bad news. But this is not bad news here. Here it is, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns is a victory. And there is also another poignant story in Scripture. In 2 Samuel chapter 18, you remember the forces of Absalom, King David's son, has rebelled against David. And David was waiting for his people, with his people, to hear news of his general Joab. had won the battle against the forces of Absalom. And indeed, after the battle, two messengers were sent to David with the news. And they told David this. It says that they have won the battle, but the sad news is that David's son Absalom had died. Now here it tells us that we have won. You still reign, King David. You know, he says, we have won. You are the king. Your forces have won. And those who have rebelled against you have been conquered. And that was the news that David wanted to hear. But I'm very sure his heart was broken to hear that his son Absalom had died. The opening message talks about our God reigns. The king reigns. Then immediately after that, the first picture we see as we continue in verse 1. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put strength as his belt. Now this is a very dynamic picture. You look there, robe. You know, the king wears a robe. And but when he's going to battle, he put on his belt. Then he pull up his robe and he tucked the robe in his belt. And that symbolizes or that shows the king is ready for battle. He's ready to fight. The king is robed in majesty, he's armed with strength. So not only is he majestic, but he's also ready to fight. The king is armed with strength. The world is firmly established and it cannot be moved. So here we find that the picture of a warrior king. Yeah, he's not just only a king, but he's a warrior king. And he has put on strength like a belt. And he's ready for battle. So the Lord is mighty. The Lord is dressed for battle. He is mighty and strong. And he is defending us. He is protecting every one of us. Then the picture changes again. And you will see, especially at the end of verse 1, the world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. And the throne is also established of old, because God is from everlasting to everlasting. So here we find that the picture of a warrior, mighty warrior, clothed with strength, going for battle for you and me, and his throne is established, and therefore the earth is going to stand, and that he is from everlasting to everlasting. God's throne is certain, and therefore our lives are not going to go to pieces. And the psalm begins by assuring you and I in scary times, that our God is in control. Our God is king. Our God is mighty. Our God is from everlasting. So when we talk about this being established, the world is established. It cannot be moved. And I think, I do not know about you, but I think it's so wonderful that the earth, our world that we live today, our earth is, the distance from the sun is 93 million miles, and it remains like that. But although you and I don't feel so, we feel that the earth has gone a little bit closer to the sun. I don't know about you, but the last few days, I tell you, you all feel the heat or not? Turn to your neighbor, say, thank God for aircon. Tell your neighbor. You know what Lee Kuan Yew says? Lee Kuan Yew says, the greatest invention of all. Lee Kuan Yew says, the greatest invention of all is aircon. Yeah, he says, the greatest. And I believe so. You think you all can work those of you are still working in the office in Shenton Way, if there's no aircon, you think you can work? Oh boy, I don't know. I want to say that although you got El Nino and all that, but you can be sure that the sun, the earth distance from the sun is still the same. And the earth also rotates on its own axis. It doesn't shift. So we have the four seasons. What happened if it's just 1-2 degrees? You know, what a world of difference it will be. We will be very small. And that's why we all say, God, you are Lord God Almighty. Everything is precise. Otherwise, you and I will be baked. Serious. Even the amount of oxygen you and I breathe each day, we all never know. The guy went to hospital and he was in emergency and he has to, and then they put, he can't breathe. They put in pure oxygen. And after that, he survived. And then when time to pay the bill, he cried, you know, for his treatment, he cried. So the cashier says, "Sir, why are you crying?" He says, "You know, you can't pay us, sir. You can't pay. There are other ways, you know, we can, to reduce your payment and all that." He says, "It's not that. It's not that. You know why I'm crying?" He says, "I cried every day. I've been breathing so much oxygen that God gave to me. But only now, because I need more pure oxygen, that's why I got to pay money. But I have forgotten to give thanks to God for the oxygen that I breathe every day." You understand? Do you know we are breathing oxygen right now? You don't have to pay money? Yes? Don't your neighbor say, "Oxygen is free." Tell your neighbor. Oh, by the grace of God. So there are things that we all take for granted every day. Don't you think so? We take it for granted. Because it's there. But when you have to pay money, then you wake up. The world is established. God, you know, every morning, can you just imagine if there's no moon? You wouldn't have tides. Everything is in God's order. Everything is established by God in this world that you and I can live comfortably and live. So we go on to the next thing, and that is, we talk about the verse 2. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. Then we talk about verse 3. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding wave. 3 times. The seas have lifted up. The seas have lifted up. The seas have lifted up. And I think this is a time where you and I talked about we experienced the peril, the portrayal of our peril in this world. So we move from the depiction of God's power to the portrayal of our peril that you and I face right now in this world. I don't know about you, but the imagery used here is the seas, the waves, the water. This is something very fluid that we all can we can imagine. I don't know about you, whether your memories are still good about the tsunamis that we had. 2004, I think we had a tsunami, the Asian tsunami. Aceh was completely, Aceh, Indonesia, completely flooded. Huh? So many casualties. In fact, it was very, very serious. And also the Typhoon Katrina in the year 2005. People are still displaced now, in Louisiana and in Mississippi. Fantastic. Typhoon Katrina caused so much flooding. So I don't know about you guys, whether you have been in a storm or not, but have been a flood, because we live in high-rise buildings. But I think many of us here who are older, about my age, by the way, in case some people just ask, "Hey, so Jeff, so how old are you now?" I say, 79 years, April next year, I'll be 80. So I got many friends of our same age as me, including Brother Kun Sing sitting there at the corner there. Yeah. We are all same age. Huh? And so in that 80 years of our life, and by the way, you read the papers 3 days or 4 days ago that say the lifespan of a Singaporean is now 83.9. Let me uncle got for more years. I mean, follow that by asking God for more, more. But I want to say to you, all of us went through a lot in the early days. And all of you young people sitting here, when we say flood, you say, flood, it means nothing to you. I went through flood. I stay in Jalan Yunus in the early days, in the 50s. And every time hujan, selalu banjir. Every time rain, sure flood one. Yes, sometimes up to the waist here. And in the early days, you know, the disposal, we all got mobile toilet, so to speak, no flushing system. And the bucket will float to the neighbor's house. Then from the smell, you know whether it's your house or not. I tell you. So all these young people, they don't, really, because they were born in a time of flushing system, they don't go through floods, but we all know. But these are perils, the seas, the waves, the storm, all these are the challenges, the perils that we all face in our lives. Number one, health. Every one of us here at this age, health will be one big peril. And sometimes issues like health does not come one at a time. It comes all at the same time. And exactly what happened was, just a few days ago, a very close relative of Alice and I, Alice, my wife, and I, a very close relative, discovered that he has pancreatic cancer and he has spread to his liver. At the same time, his son went for an operation for slip disc. Then yesterday evening, he and his wife went to Bedok Mall with their son. And they were eating, and after that, they were going to the car park, and she missed a step. Now, she already got problem with her legs, with her knees especially. And she missed a step, and she fell. Boom, she fell. And she couldn't get up. And the son just had went for a slip disc operation. The husband just discovered he got bad cancer. They try and lift her up, they cannot. Some passers-by came and helped bring her to the car. She's now in hospital. After my message today, I will be going with my wife to visit and visit my brother-in-law at the same time. Perils, things like this does not happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen just one. A storm comes. But thank God they are believers and we're praying for them. But these are things that can happen. Health. Then financial. Financial also. Scammers are everywhere. And some of you, and I heard so many friends, even educated people, still got scammed. And it is a very terrible evil today. And then we have also relationship, conflicts in relationship. That is another area, another thing in our lives. Breakup of families. Disharmony in a family between brothers and sisters, parents and children. Even in the office, conflicts. Can't get along with bosses and all, things like that. And then your career. My brother-in-law is a freight forwarder. He has got containers and he got the low loaders and he has got his prime movers and all that. And now with the price of oil has gone up, diesel oil has gone up, he says he's paying out $100,000 more every month just on diesel alone. He said, Jeff, how to do business? So he's going through a lot of trials. So these are the perils. When we face these perils, so what do we do? I think we have to depend on God. The seas have lifted up. Let's look at verse 4. The seas have lifted up. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters. Mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. So we have to cling to this promise and this in this verse 4. That in all these difficulties that you and I face, God is mightier. God is mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. And so we must learn to trust him, that God is there for us. You know, I think we all sing songs like, my hope is built on nothing less. My hope is built on nothing less. And you sing, in every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. The oath is covenant, his blood support me, in the whelming flood. And then also when we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. You sing, Jesus, what a help in sorrow while the billows over me roll. So over and over in hymnology, we learn and we sing verses that reminds us of how mighty God is. And so, mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. He's not saying to us that we can just ignore all this peril around us, or we just ignore. No. It's not ignorance. It's knowing that our God, He is King, and He is strong. He is robed for battle, and He rides on the storm. So we need to trust in Him, and our trust is on Him and Him alone. Then we come to the last one, the pronouncement about God's person, who He is, His character. Verse 5 says, your statutes stand firm, holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. So when the psalm, this psalm moves from verse 1 to verse 4, it moves from power, it moves to peril, and then it tells us that God is more powerful than our peril. And in verse 5, we meet a pronouncement about God's person, a pronouncement about God's decrees. He says, your decrees are trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forever. And so what he says, you see, God is trustworthy, God is faithful, God is holy, He is righteous, He is good. And the word decrees, actually means testimonies. So that we know that this is our blessed assurance, that God's holiness adores His house, God is powerful, the testimonies, the things that we go through in life, we testify to the goodness of God. We just sang a while ago how good and faithful God is. God is there. His word is trustworthy. His word is trustworthy. So it's very, very important. And then when we go through trials like this, we have to go back to God's word. When we face peril, we have to go back to God's word, because it's God's words are decrees and His testimony of how good He is. And you see that in ancient times, how often God has been there for the, when the people face peril, how He was there. But in our own lives here, we also can say, and I think that the very fact you are sitting here alive, there are so many dangers that you've gone through, so many things in life that could have killed you, but you are alive today. And that testify of the goodness of God, His decrees. He looked after you. You know, a trustworthy is so important. When somebody says something and you trust the person's word, it gives you blessed assurance. You all know my story of how my bus overturned in Iceland, and I was hanging with my wife up there on my seatbelt. We were the bus like that, so we were there. And people were groaning down there. But I tell you, what gave us confidence in that situation? This tour members, two person, husband and wife, on honeymoon for this trip, Iceland, to catch the aurora. They were, will you believe this, how good God is? They look up to us, and me and my wife hanging by our seatbelt in the roof there. Don't worry. We are trauma nurses from Changi General Hospital, emergency and accident department. Can you imagine? Hey, you know how reassuring it is. Here in the on board the bus that overturned, we got two passengers who actually work in Changi General Hospital in emergency and trauma. Straight away, I was so calm now, because now she says, we know what to do. And so we just surrender, and they say, you all just listen. Just listen to our instruction. So trustworthy. Why? Qualified. When God is qualified to save you, God is qualified. So when I went for my cancer removal of my prostate, I want to go to someone trustworthy. Then I was told. And all this time, we all know that there's this surgeon, urologist, Alfred Chin, and that he's really good. And he was one of the earliest to learn to do the Da Vinci, how to remove prostate through this machine. And then he said, Jeff, I do for you. But I said, I'm a retired pensioner. I can't pay you. You private, very expensive. He said, don't worry. See how good God is. He says, I am a consultant to Changi General Hospital. I can do for you as your surgeon, but you stay in Changi General Hospital. You don't need to stay in Mau E. Hallelujah. And then you don't pay. Government will pay me. Hallelujah. And then what happened? And then because he's the same church as me, Dr. Alfred Chin, on that Sunday, I think I told you, on that Sunday, I came in front and I got all the whole church elders to pray for me. And I was holding the surgeon's hand. The surgeon was holding my hand. How many of you seen this surgeon and patient holding hands together? And the elders laid hands and prayed for us. That was Sunday. Then Monday, my operation. After I finished, they say, sure kena incontinent, sure pee in the pants one. You laugh, ha, pee in the pants. So I wear, after I catheter taken out, I wear my diapers, adult diapers, are you? Huh? I wear one day, next morning I wake up, dry. And when I want to pee, I know. I will tell the nurse I want to pee. Second day, also dry. And I tell you, this is strange. So after the third day, I don't wear anymore. And then you know what happened? I met Alfred. I said, Alfred, I tell you, you were really fantastic. Hey, he said, Jeff, when I operate on you, when I stitch you up, I put a cross down there. Now, up to today, I don't know whether he's joking or is he serious or not. I want to see, but I can't see whether the cross is there or not. Alfred Steiner. But I tell you, when I went lie down operating theater, I completely confident. Why? Because Alfred Chin is trustworthy. And you would think a human being, Alfred Chin, is trustworthy, and you think the two nurses from Changi General is trustworthy. Our great God is absolutely trustworthy. So in these three things, that we just remember. We always remember when we go through these Psalms, these five verses just tell us, number one, the power of God. When we face trials, perils, God is there. He's mightier than the waves and mightier than all the storm that we face. And the last one, the person of God, his character. He is trustworthy because he's holy. Holiness adorns his house for endless days. We can trust in God. All right? So this is the message I have for you. I do not know what else. We do not know what is going to happen in the near future. The situation is fluid. We talk about storm. The situation is still very fluid. Today, papers you just open, I see Iran resume attack, bombing Bahrain and all that. So we really don't know where this is going to lead us. But we know for sure. In these storms and all this danger that we face, He, Father God, is with us. He is trustworthy. He's powerful. He knows what we go through. You can trust Him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. In these five verses, we learn so much about who you are, about your power. We learn about in the midst of our perils, Lord, that we can trust your person, that you are holy, you are trustworthy, God. We thank you, Lord. And so we come before you this morning here, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, praising you as our sovereign King, that you are robed in majesty, you are armed with strength. Thank you that your throne was established long ago and that you are from everlasting to everlasting. Lord, when the floods of life rise and roar around us, when anxieties, fears, and unexpected storms threaten to overwhelm us, Lord, we declare that you are mightier than the noise of many waters. You are greater than the crashing waves of this world. We take our stand on the unshakable foundation of your word. Oh, Lord, your testimonies are very sure. Your promises are true. And because you are the holy God who never changes, we choose to fix our eyes on Jesus and rest in your peace. We pray that your holiness will reign in our lives, in our hearts, as we enthrone you in our lives forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.